Livonlabs.com. LIVONLabs.com.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Well, today is literally a celebrity-studded show. I'm just looking at the lineup today, and I'm like, wow, I just thought about this. It's the people that are on today's show. First of all, my first guest during the first hour, who has the distinction of being the very first guest I ever interviewed on Superhuman Radio 11 years ago, Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. We're going to be talking about the misconceptions about estrogen, both endogenous and exogenous, and different forms of estrogen, clear up some misconceptions, and give people some good facts, because I think you're going to find out, if I think I know what Dr. D is going to talk about, estrogen is not bad. Then I have three taped interviews I did at the Therapeutic Metabolic Conference in Tampa, Florida. You're going to listen to interviews by Andrew Scarborough. I had a chance to meet Andrew in person, and he is as wonderful in person as he is on the air or over the phone. Jacob Wilson, the muscle PhD. I'll tell you a funny story about that when I play his interview. And then none other than the lovable, affable, all things low-carb Jimmy Moore. So we've got some great interviews to play during the second hour. Hopefully you'll enjoy that. But without further delay, hey, Dr. Mauro DiPasquale, how are you, sir?
I'm just fine. How about you?
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So, isn't that amazing? You were my first interview 11 years ago.
Yeah, it was a long time.
I know. It really is a long time. So let's get right to the meat of this topic here. Estrogen. Everybody in the bodybuilding community thinks it's bad. Is that one of the misconceptions?
No, there's no doubt about that. Most people think of estrogens as being a woman's hormone for sexuality and for reproduction, but it's so much more. Estrogen receptors and estrogen effect are in all parts of the body, including the brain, muscle, immunity, all aspects of our functioning.
One of the earliest interesting things I learned about estrogen was it activates a receptor on every cell called the fibroblast activation factor, which immediately suppresses inflammation. I read a study about rodents receiving a traumatic brain injury, and one group was receiving an aromatase inhibitor and had the estrogen levels. These were female rodents. They had been ovariectomized. One group received an AI. Even though they were ovariectomized, the brain can produce estradiol from androgens and other hormones spontaneously. The other group received infused estradiol. The group that had the estradiol infused did not have the brain swelling that the group that received the AIs did, and they attributed that to the ability for estradiol to suppress inflammation during a trauma. I was surprised by that.
That's actually not a surprise. Estrogen stabilizes the cell membrane. It has an anti-inflammatory effects. It has multiple actions that would, in fact, increase, for example, regeneration, increase protein synthesis. It has a multitude of effects that are positive, and it also has a multitude of effects that can be negative.
Before we get into the negative ones, I want to stay with the positive ones for a moment longer. There's a doctor who I had the luxury of communicating with when my sister was first diagnosed with Parkinson's disease back in 2006 or 2007. I believe her last name was De Grazzi. She's Italian. She's up at the University of Toronto, not far from your hometown, right? Because you live in Toronto, don't you?
About 60 miles from Toronto, yes.
Yeah. She did two amazing studies, once again on ovariectomized rats. that would then give an MPTP. For those who don't know what MPTP is, MPTP is an industrial solvent that during the 1960s in New York somehow found its way into heroin as a cut. And all of the heroin addicts developed spontaneous, what was called Parkinsonism. This was a spontaneous degradation in the substantia nigra that brought on tremors and neuromuscular problems that are evident in those with Parkinson's disease. Now, fast forward, the scientific community uses MPTP when they want to create a Parkinson's model in rodents. They give them MPTP, and they literally develop tremors in minutes. And this wonderful Italian doctor at the University of Toronto, again, a very ectomized rats, infused with MPTP, one got a saline with the MPTP, the other one got estradiol. That was, these were both injected into arteries that go right to the brain. And the group that was getting the estradiol resisted the development of Parkinson's disease for 6 weeks. 6 weeks before they finally started to develop tremors. The other rats, they developed Parkinson's-like symptoms within minutes of receiving the MPTP. Once again, this, and when I read that study, Mauro, it made sense to me why men develop Parkinson's disease at a fivefold higher rate than women, until women go through menopause, then they catch up.
That's true. There's no doubt about that. Estrogen has a lot of beneficial effects, especially in women, of course, but also in men. You know, I mean, it's almost in men, in some cases, it's a priming effect. It's something that is permissive. If you don't have it, then a lot of the functions, including skeletal muscle, hypertrophy, exercise performance, longevity, etc., can't be realized. So by cutting out estrogen completely, for example, you're running into a lot of problems, both neurological, as you stated, but also musculoskeletal, central nervous system, immune system, etc.
I have to believe that estrogen is anabolic. Is it?
It is for women especially, and it actually is permissive anabolic in men. So that if you, for example, and you know, there's estrogen receptors in the body. I mean, almost every cell has estrogen receptors, but there's more to it than the estrogen receptors. You basically have three types of estrogen receptors. You have the alpha, which was discovered first, and then the beta, and then you have the membrane-bound estrogen receptors. But there's also not just receptor-mediated estrogen action, there's non-receptor-mediated, not just genomic estrogen action, but also non-genomic estrogen action. It's extremely complicated. Now, it's been complicated even more by the finding of estrogen-related receptors. I'm not sure if you're familiar with these.
No, I'm not.
Okay, there's an alpha, beta, a gamma, and several splice variants of these estrogen-related receptors. Now, they have been found, initially they were thought not to be related at all to estrogen binding to these receptors, but now they're finding that the effects will bind certain receptor domains, also affect some of the genomic aspects of estrogens by affecting the promoter genes of estrogens and the genes that modulate the other genes that modulate estrogens. So, and we're just starting to learn about these receptors, and these receptors are very complex. We don't know much about them. They started calling them orphan receptors. They didn't know where they came from and what they did, but now we're discovering that in fact they're probably involved in just about everything that the estrogen and testosterone are involved in. So we're still trying to figure all this out. Our knowledge at this point doesn't allow us to coordinate everything to give you the best advice as to what to do and what not to do. I mean, there are some things we can't say, and we will say, about estrogens and phytoestrogens and genoestrogens, etc. But it's a very, very complex topic.
So it became evident to me that estrogen was anabolic when I first started to homebrew my own trenbolone acetate, like many people within the bodybuilding community may have done from time to time. And I discovered that when cows are giving trenbolone acetate by itself, they will develop X amount of lean body mass. When they're given in combination with estradiol benzoate, they will develop fivefold more muscle from the same anabolic steroid. Now, when I look at that, And I look at the effects of things like trenbolone and Masteron, which is a DHT-type molecule. These are known to harden and, quote-unquote, dry a person out. Estradiol and estrogen seem to cause a greater uptake in sarcoplasmic fluid into the muscle, giving the muscle a more swollen, full look. So is it truly anabolic, or is it just a fuller, more fluid, full muscle that it's producing estrogen?
I think it is anabolic, and as I mentioned, it's a permissive. I believe it's a permissive anabolic. Without it, you don't get the anabolic effects nearly as much as if you have some there. There's a lot of compounds in the body that have a permissive or an action that primes the action that you really want. So this is where estrogen fits in. Too much of the estrogen, if you overdo it, of course, can cause all kinds of side effects. For example, people that take anabolic steroids that are aromatizable, in other words, where they can produce estrogen-like compounds, often will use a SERM, a selective estrogen receptor antagonist, like tamoxifen, clomiphene, raloxifene. There's a whole bunch of them, in order to cut out some of these side effects of excessive estrogen, one of which is gynecomastia, which is male breasts. And you used to often see bodybuilders that overdid the anabolic steroids with sort of a lump underneath their nipple, which they have to have surgically excised. Take something like tamoxifen. It antagonizes estrogen receptor alpha, which is one of the stimulating effects in breast cancer, for example, and in increased breast size. So it's complex. You know, depending on the anabolic steroid that the people are using, testosterone, for example, a lot of people will use super physiological levels of testosterone, and if they do that, then they'll increase estrogen levels to a point where they might get some of the undesirable side effects, which is why they go on the SERMs.
So the other misconception that I've recently discovered, 2 years ago we did a show with a scientist who did a study with men on testosterone replacement therapy and its effect on body recomposition. And one group got an HRT dose of testosterone. These were older men. I think they were in their 60s and above. Mm-hmm. The other group got testosterone and an AI, an aromatase inhibitor. I think they got a half a milligram or 1 milligram of anastrozole every third day or something like that. Something not excessive, but something that clearly would suppress probably 70 to 90% of the estradiol throughout the week. And then they were followed for 12 weeks. I'm going from memory here. And they had DEXA scans at the beginning, the middle, and the end. And what they discovered was the men whose estradiol was suppressed lost less body fat. The men whose estradiol was not suppressed achieved a much leaner physique, and they assessed that against some other research that pointed to the fact that estradiol, contrary to the belief within the bodybuilding community, estradiol may actually be lipolytic.
Oh, actually, it does. Yeah, it is lipolytic, and increases beta oxidation of fatty acids, increases ATP production, increases exercise endurance. Increases protein synthesis, but again, you have to look at dosages. If you have huge amounts of estrogen, then you're going to have problems with. If you're not taking any anabolic steroids or testosterone exogenously, then using estrogen or having high levels of estrogen is not going to be very productive unless your testosterone levels are also high, which is unlikely because estrogens will suppress testosterone. Uh-huh. And the way it does that is basically the testosterone levels, as they rise, they are aromatized into estrogen, and it's actually the estrogen that decreases luteinizing hormone, and luteinizing hormone, releasing hormone, the effect of luteinizing hormone on testicular spermatogenesis. So what you have is high estrogen levels with without any kind of exogenous use that will decrease your body composition, decrease muscle mass, increase body fat, and cause a lot of side effects.
So in the natural man, who and quite interestingly, aromatase, the enzyme, occupies fat cells. So the more fat you have on the body, the more of your testosterone will be siphoned off into estrogen, which is really the diobese community today in our population, when you think about it. But if a guy isn't using testosterone as a supplement, and his testosterone drops and his estrogen rises, now the ratios all of a sudden become very important, don't they?
Oh, yeah, of course they do. Yes, the ratio is all important. High testosterone levels and relatively high estrogen levels can be quite productive for increasing muscle mass and increasing body composition, performance, etc. But if you start getting more of the estrogen and less of the testosterone, it reverses itself, and you get all the adverse effects that you don't want in body composition, performance, health, etc.
I want to take our first commercial break. When we come back, I want to pick up for a moment on estradiol and libido. I often hear, whenever I talk to people, they'll say to me, ask me a question about testosterone, and I'll say, well, I've been on since 2007, and I try to explain to them the benefits of testosterone. They always say to me, inevitably, well, my libido's fine, so my testosterone may be fine. And I've stopped even trying to address this question, but the reality is that estradiol may still improve libido, even in the absence of high testosterone levels. Maybe you can explain that on the other side of the break. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right, stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. We'll be right back.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-0514 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-0514 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-0514. That's 1-800-516-0514. Again, 1-800-516-0514.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-291-5140. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-291-5140. That's 1-800-291-5140.
Hey, this is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes. Because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advance banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Few products can boast being considered the food of the gods by the Aztecs, but the ingredients in BioSuperfood have been. Some algae are the most efficient forms of nutrients, proteins, minerals, enzymes, fatty acids, antioxidants, and much more. BioSuperfood is something you have to experience for yourself. That's why, for a limited time, buy any BioSuperfood products and save 15% off your first order. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad to read the research and learn why BioSuperfood is the best supplement in the world you're not already taking.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Uh-oh. Welcome back. The website is MauroMD.com, M-A-U-R-O-M-D.com, if you want to learn more about Dr. DePasquale's fantastic supplements, his books. You know, it's funny, Mauro, I was at the Metabolic Therapeutic Conference this past week in Tampa, and this is a conference dedicated to therapeutic use of the ketogenic diet, and there's people there saying, well, I've been studying keto for the past 10 years, and I say, well, the guy who really first started talking about the ketogenic diet, although he called it a phase shift diet, it's the keto diet, for performance especially, is Dr. Mauro DePasquale. Have you heard of him? They're like, no. I said, yeah, 35 years ago, he wrote a book called The Anabolic Diet, which is basically the ketogenic diet with a refeed on the weekends, kind of like what all of you do today and think you invented it. So it was pretty humorous. It really, really was.
Actually, I see a lot of that. People have taken a lot of my ideas and called it their own, or else they've rediscovered the ideas, etc. I've written so many articles, etc. I think people no longer know where they get their information or where they get their ideas.
Well, and that's the beauty of the internet today. Somebody takes an article and makes it their own. They just reword it. They put it on a meme, and they send it out there. It's like, oh, this is my idea, and it's not true. Anyway, getting back to the topic at hand here. So a lot of guys think libido is evidence of high testosterone and low estradiol or estrogen, but that's not the case, is it?
No, it's not, actually. Libido is a combination of testosterone and estrogen effect, and it's that way with women and men, although obviously the testosterone angle with women would be much lower, and the estrogen levels would be higher in respect to the way men is. But if you take away estrogen from men, the libido drops dramatically.
Remember when, what was it called, ATD, that very, very powerful aromatase inhibitor that made it through the bodybuilding world back in probably around 2003, 2004? Do you remember that?
I do, yeah.
And what was the number one complaint of guys who were using ATD? They lost their libido. They couldn't even get erections anymore. And all it was a powerful aromatase inhibitor.
Oh, definitely. There's no doubt about that. Aromatase inhibitors vary in their ability to block aromatase, obviously. Some are competitive, some are what they call suicidal aromatase inhibitors, where
right.
They bind and then they don't unbind. Those are obviously more deleterious as far as decreasing estrogen levels than the other ones, which are concentration dependent. But if you use something like that, but aromatase is strange because the SERMs don't really affect the aromatase levels in the gonads. In other words, and they're more peripherally associated. For example, the adrenal glands will put out androgens such as DHEA and androstenedione. These are converted in fat tissue, as you mentioned before, and other peripheral tissues into estrogens by aromatase. Now, you block all of this and the person isn't making much through the testicles, you're taking exogenous steroids, then you've actually decreased libido dramatically. And this is what happened. A lot of people that use aromatase inhibitors, especially athletes, et cetera, bodybuilders, use them to decrease the effects of excessive estrogens. But in fact, if they use the wrong ones, they're actually sort of have counterproductive effects as far as their libido and their sex drive, et cetera.
So what other misconceptions are there about estrogen? High estrogen levels are no good for a man's heart, just the same way high testosterone levels are no good for a woman's heart. What other misconceptions are there out there about estrogen?
Well, there's a lot of misconceptions. For example, estrogens are tied with growth hormone and IGF-1 axis. In other words, the women tend to have a higher growth hormone IGF-1 levels than men do because of the higher estrogen levels. So if you cut back on estrogens in any way, then you're also going to be affecting your growth hormone IGF-1 levels and therefore affecting your ability for muscular hypertrophy, performance, etc. Now, using something like tamoxifen as against, clomiphene, both of them are SERMs, but they both have differential effects on the growth hormone IGF-1 axis. Tamoxifen tends to increase luteinizing hormone effect, increase testosterone effects, but decreases growth hormone IGF-1 effects, but that's offset by the increase in testosterone. Whereas the clomiphene, Clomid is the usual trade name, doesn't have those effects on the IGF-1 growth hormone axis. By the way, I don't know if you're familiar with the 2011 study about the use of clomiphene as a testosterone replacement therapy.
Yeah, for older men, yeah.
Yeah. Well, this was a 3-year study, and it actually brought the levels up appreciably over the 3 years, which is, clomiphene is often used post-steroid use to try and get the testicles working back again, as is HCG. Tamoxifen can also be used by that. But clomiphene by itself can be used instead of testosterone to increase the axis, and this does not have the counterproductive effect of decreasing testicular size, etc.
So this is a totally a side question before we take our break, because I want to come back and talk more about, I want to get into xenoestrogens and phytoestrogens and some of the estrogens that we find in our environment today too and what they're doing. But I've been on HRT now since 2007, and quite frankly, in all honesty, and I am honest with my audience, 70% of the time that I've been on HRT, I have been using much, much higher doses than what my HRT prescription prescribes.
Right.
And I have experienced testicular shrinkage. I didn't want to fool with HCG and clomiphene. Clomiphene actually depresses me. Is that odd that people who take... when I take clomiphene citrate, I get really moody and very, very easily saddened. And I didn't know if it was placebo or really does that to men.
Yeah, but don't forget now. You're your own universe, okay?
Yeah.
In other words, your body has a different, could have a different effect to almost anything as against someone who's sitting right next to you. So in fact, clomiphene may have a suppressive effect on factors that ordinarily in another person would have have an increased effect. In other words, clomiphene may knock out your estrogen more so than or be as potent as estradiol in one way, or could knock out estradiol completely and leave you with less estrogen in your body.
Uh-huh.
So depending on how you react, you actually have to measure your estrone, estradiol, estriol levels, LH, FSH, and a number of other things in order to figure out just why you're reacting that way to the clomiphene.
Well, I'm not a high aromatizer because I've taken as much as 2 grams of testosterone a week and my estradiol only gets up to about 64, what is that, picograms? It only gets up to 64. I've never had to use AIs, quite frankly. I've just never had to. But with that being said, if I decided I wanted to come off HRT for a while, do you think that I could actually re-stimulate testosterone synthesis after 10 years of being on mostly superphysiological doses using things like clomiphene and HCG? Or you think that at my age, I'll be 59 this year, that that opportunity is pretty much past me?
Well, again, back to your own universe, your own particular makeup, etc. Usually what happens when you're on testosterone replacement therapy for long periods of time, you actually get death of the luteal cells. In other words, they die off. You know, you get an apoptotic response. And in most people, that will not come back. They won't regenerate. You won't get the luteal cells. You won't get the testicular hypertrophy again. But on the other hand...
On the other hand, and we just lost Dr. DePasquale. We just actually dropped the connection. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and force a break. And when we come back, I'm going to ask him to finish answering that question because it's very, very interesting to me. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Be right back.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest high protein potato chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. We lost Dr. DePasquale, but he's back. Sorry.
Hear me
yeah, I can hear you fine. You're fine.
I'm using a new computer, and having some problems with this.
That's okay. So the bottom line, I think what you were saying was, I probably have lost Leydig cell volume. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
I wonder if you can re-stimulate those in any way, shape, or form.
Well, you know, it all depends on whether or not you have the progenitor cells still intact. Now,
right.
If you kill those off, then you're not going to be able to, you know, you don't have the, sort of, you've lost the stem cell effect within the testicles. If you've lost that, then probably it's not going to happen. Now, if the stem cells are still there to some extent, yeah, you can stimulate that. They can, again, produce luteal cells. They can increase testosterone levels. And, you know, the usual thing that people do when they go off steroids, because at that point, they're like a eunuch. In other words, they're producing estrogens to some extent because of the adrenal production of the various androgens, but not testosterone, and then the aromatase effect in the peripheral tissues. But the testicles are basically dead, you know, in the sense that it's just not functioning anymore. And I wrote about this back in my book, Anabolic Steroids, Facts, Fiction, and Treatment. And how to re-stimulate. And that was like 40 years ago, okay? I wrote that. And basically I outlined ways you could use HCG, clomiphene, tamoxifen, and even supratentorial parts of certain molecules that can increase the luteinizing hormone, releasing hormone, which will increase luteinizing hormone, which then increases testicular steroidogenesis. And not only in the brain area, but also within the testicles, because
right.
The testicles themselves produce luteinizing hormone, and they produce other hormones that will increase both spermatogenesis and steroidogenesis, or production of testosterone. So in a case such as yours, if you wanted to take a break, because you've been on for a fair amount of time, I would probably start off with the HCG. I know they're by injections or pain, and a little more expensive. And then once you get the testicles sort of going to some extent and see whether or not you can increase testicular volume, then I would go on to clomiphene and stay on that for a period of time, maybe 150 milligrams a day, depending on
you know what? You know what, Mauro? Stop. You know what? I want to do another show. I have an idea for a really, really, really important show, and I'll outline it in an email. This
right.
will be part of it, but we need to dedicate an hour to this. I've got a myriad of questions that I'm sure your answers will be extremely enlightening. Let's get back to the so what's going on with xeno and phytoestrogens that are new to us, at least over the past thousands of years, that now not only compete for the estrogen receptor, but some appear to have an even greater affinity to staying put in the estrogen receptor than even endogenous estrogen.
Actually, the terms genoestrogens and phytoestrogens are somewhat confusing, because some people consider xenoestrogens any estrogenic-like compounds that's not endogenously produced. In other words, it involves phytoestrogens, involves all the chemicals, all
okay.
the phytates and everything. On the other hand, some people call the xenoestrogens estrogens that are chemically induced. In other words, they're synthetic, that man-made type. And then the phytoestrogens are the ones that are in nature, like plants.
Right.
Guy. So whatever way you want to look at it, it is a little confusing, because some people use one term to mean both, and some people split them up as two. But certainly the ones that are made man-made can be extremely potent, and they can bind to the receptors to the point where the estradiol has no chance of getting in there, and it can cause various effects, because they can have some estrogenic effects. They can actually have some anti-androgenic effects, because they also combine to the androgen receptor, some of them. So you get a double whammy, and unless of course it's a strictly sort of a very low level, very low key estrogen agonist, which will take the place of estradiol in the receptors, and this has some beneficial effects because it increases serum testosterone. This is what clomiphene does, basically.
Uh-huh. It blocks the androgen receptor from being activated, basically, right?
Exactly. So what happens is you have stronger estrogen, which is estradiol, which has more of an effect in decreasing serum testosterone levels, and you're supplementing it or blocking the receptor by using a very weak estrogen, and then you're getting some positive effects. The problem is that a number of studies have shown that combining more than three or four or five or whatever, and there's hundreds of these weak estrogens, can actually have a very strong estrogenic effect and a very adverse effect for testosterone synthesis and for other even effects on the brain, central nervous system, skeletal muscle, immune system, etc. So the synthetic ones seem to be. I mean, we've been living with the phytoestrogens for forever. I mean, plants.
Right.
You know, plants have the phytoestrogens. That's all there is to it. You know, the flaxseed. There's all kinds of them. Okay. Red wine, resveratrol is also phytoestrogen, although it has different effects depending on what else is going on in the body. It can actually be it can actually increase testosterone levels, and depending on you know, what other things you're doing, your diet, you know, training, etc., it can decrease testosterone levels. So it's very I wish it was black and white, but it's not.
It never is. And when it comes to the human body, nothing is. And that's the problem with the medical orthodoxy today, because they look at molecules like, oh, this is it, this is what we need, and then you find out it's not, and there's a myriad of other things that are affecting, and that one molecule actually turns out to have pleiotropic effects that we never thought about. We're just looking at this one effect here. It's always complex. What about...
Just let me say something here.
No, go ahead.
The research is also that way. In other words, you're doing research with very narrow blinders. Unless you reproduce those exactly, you may not get the effect that that researcher got with his study. So you have to be very, very concerned about, you know, studies that, I mean, all studies actually, very concerned about just how they're doing it, who they're applying it to. For example, we're not rats, we're not mice. So a lot of studies down those rodents, even though they may have some significance in humans, may not. And this has been shown in many studies as well.
Right.
So you have to be very careful about, people making definitive decisions of what something is doing. If they're 100% sure of something, then you're usually wrong.
Yeah, I agree. Estradiol seems to be linked closely to sex hormone binding globulins. Anabolic agents like proviron, aromatase inhibitors, as they seem to lower, and even DHT like Masteron, because it's a hardening agent, which I like, by the way. When they lower estradiol, they also seem to lower sex hormone binding globulin. So, A, what's the relationship between estradiol and SHBG? And B, is SHBG good? Is it bad? Is it high better? Is it low better?
This is another really gray area. Some people feel that the serum hormone binding globulins, whether it's androgen, estrogen, cortisol, whatever, are actually active compounds. In other words, they're not just passive sort of storage units. The general consensus is the higher your serum hormone binding globulin, I'll just take an example of testosterone. If you check total testosterone, and then you check free testosterone, then you check serum hormone binding globulin, the consensus is that if you have this much free testosterone, and you have this much serum hormone binding globulin, the two can actually interfere with each other. So the serum hormone binding globulin will bind testosterone and make it inactive and make it sort of like a resource more than anything else, and your free testosterone can actually be pretty low with your total testosterone being high. But there are some researchers and some studies that have shown that the serum hormone binding globulin combination with testosterone actually has a biological effect outside of just the testosterone. So it's a complex issue. As far as estrogen, same thing. A lot of studies seem to correlate the two. In other words, if you have a high if something increases serum hormone binding globulin, then you're going to get less free estrogen, free testosterone, and less of a physiological effect. But that's not necessarily the case, and this is still being sorted out.
Is SHBG a suicide scenario once it binds to an androgen or an estrogen, it deactivates it indefinitely until it carries it out of the body? Or does it, is it kind of a dynamic game where it lets it go when the body needs it? Is it kind of like a storage unit that says, hey, we need more, we're not getting it from the testicles, so SHBG lets some go?
Yes, well, there's no doubt it's dynamic. There's been all kinds of studies have shown that increasing free testosterone levels can increase serum hormone binding globulin. Or if you take a total testosterone from two different men, let's say, and you say, okay, this guy's got so much serum hormone binding globulin and this much free testosterone. This other guy's got more free testosterone but less serum hormone binding globulin. Then he's at an advantage because the free testosterone is going to have more of an effect on the things he's looking for, increasing testosterone, available testosterone. And this is not just the free testosterone, but also testosterone that's bound very weakly to albumin. Testosterone. So there's it's a much more complex scenario than one would expect just taking free testosterone and serum hormone binding globulin and saying, well, obviously, you know, one is going to affect the other. The storage unit is a serum hormone binding globulin. When you need more testosterone, it releases the, or you can decrease serum hormone binding globulin and that releases the testosterone that's bound. But there are some people that believe that the combination of the two actually has specific steroidal effects.
Why does estradiol affect SHBG? Why, when you have high estradiol levels, you have a high SHBG? Is it in response to trying to bind up the estradiol, or is estradiol, the way it's a negative feedback loop player in the testosterone production scenario, it also is some sort of feedback loop for SHBG?
Well, that's a common consensus, but I'm not so sure that it's that accurate. I don't think it's that simple. I think there's a complex relationship. As I explained, you know, one person, most of the studies or, you know, most of the researchers, most of the stuff you read on the internet and elsewhere will say that, you know, the higher your SHBG levels, the lower your free estrogen or testosterone levels, and therefore you have sort of either a hypogonadal state if it's low enough. Even though your serum hormone, as you get older, for example, your serum hormone binding globulin increases and your free testosterone will decrease. So people think automatically, well, that's one of the reasons why you lose muscle mass, you know, sarcopenia and all that is associated with aging as you get older, et cetera. But it's a complex relationship. Even using something like tamoxifen, for example. Tamoxifen will increase testosterone, will increase a lot of things, but it also has some estrogenic and anti-estrogenic effects. But it has positive effects on bone, so that whereas some of the other SERMs will have a negative effect on bone. So, you know, the issue is complex, and this will be interesting when we discuss the various ways of dealing with the luteinizing hormone, releasing hormone, luteinizing hormone, follicle stimulating hormone, aromatase, testicular effects, etc., on people on steroids or not on steroids, etc., whether they're hypogonadal or whether they're hypogonadal naturally or whether they're hypogonadal secondary to using anabolic steroids.
I want to take our last commercial break, and when we come back, I want to talk specifically about phytoestrogens and specifically about soy. I want your opinion on this matter. We're talking right now with Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. Mauro is the original thought leader. There's a lot of people out there who call themselves thought leaders, but there is no one who's done what Mauro has done decades ago that are just becoming popular now, and many people are taking credit for. His website is MauroMD, MauroMD.com. If you want to harness his insights and his foresight in supplements, you've got to go to his website and check out what he makes. It's amazing. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You, too, can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Eat dessert again with the the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Hey, this is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
Few products can boast being considered the food of the gods by the Aztecs, but the ingredients in Bio Superfood have been. Some algae are the most efficient forms of nutrients, proteins, minerals, enzymes, fatty acids, antioxidants, and much more. Bio Superfood is something you have to experience for yourself. That's why, for a limited time, buy any Bio Superfood products and save 15% off your first order. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad to read the research and learn why Bio Superfood is the best supplement in the world you're not already taking.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Stick around for the top of the hour when we continue with this celebrity-studded show. Right now we're talking with Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. I've got some great interviews with Jacob Wilson, Andrew Scarborough, and Jimmy Moore for the second hour. So, Mauro, what's your opinion of soy? You mentioned flaxseed. I mean, let me just throw this out there first. I have this theory that I've talked about on the show, that the reason that there are estrogen-like compounds in plants is because plants cannot fight, bite, or run. So they have had to, through selection pressure, upregulate things that protect them from animals consuming them. And if you consume a plant source exclusively that has estrogenic-like compounds, it will eventually disrupt the procreation process in that species and basically wipe them off the planet, because estrogen for men is not a good thing. The male animal maybe loses his libido, spermatogenesis, it declines, and boom, you have no offspring. They stop eating the plant. Am I wrong about this, or is the estrogen in plants actually good for us, and should we be consuming more of it?
Well, actually, you're right. As far as the plants defending themselves, people consider plants as basically static, non-living. But they're very complex. They have immune systems. They have growth hormone. They react to threats, etc., by changing their metabolism. I can see that having a lot of the isoflavones and other compounds that are estrogenic, having the animals eat them will decrease the animal's aggressiveness. First of all, second of all, will probably, like you say, decrease procreation as it'll affect spermatogenesis, so they won't be able to procreate as much, and so that's a way of defending yourself. It's a long-term strategy. It's not something that's going to be, you know, a person eats them, all of a sudden they drop dead, so your plants are saved. But certainly, yeah, I can see that on an evolutionary basis.
So what are your thoughts about soy consumption? I kind of feel like feeding children soy is a terrible idea, because children should not be increasing any form of estrogen beyond what their body is producing naturally, and feeding them phytoestrogens, which do have an affinity and an effect, is not a good idea. Do you think that's a wrong opinion? You think people should be eating foods that have high soy activity? I mean, estrogen activity. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. You're talking about children, of course, and there's several studies that have shown that xenoestrogens, including phytoestrogens, given in excess to children, has very significant effects on their sexuality, on growth, on body fat levels, and actually produces epigenetic effects that will affect them the rest of their lives. So yeah, it's very counterproductive for kids to get excessive amounts of xeno or phytoestrogens or whatever you want to call them that have estrogenic effects. It's not just children. It's women who are pregnant and are consuming these foods can actually have effects on the fetus and the way it develops and the way it grows, etc. But you have to be very, very concerned about the xenoestrogens, the chemicals that we're all exposed to, and the foods and the packaging and the water and the air. I mean, all the stuff that pregnant women will take in, and this will have a profound effect on the fetus and on the baby. Genetically speaking, initially, we're all females. There are changes that take place as the blastocyst subdivides and produces different cells that part of the Y chromosome interacts and produces the male differentiation. But initially, the blastocyst and even the original sperm-egg combination and then the initial divisions that happen after that are essentially female. So you have to be very careful that during that time period, you're not introducing more of the estrogenic compounds, which may affect the child, not only when it's born, but as it develops and the rest of its life.
Yeah, and I've been outspoken about this for a couple years. You know, people are going, Chia, is there really an increase in LGBT type people, or is it just because the internet is putting them out there? And I'm of the belief that there's an increase, and it's because of xenoestrogens, xenoandrogens, phytoestrogens, phytoandrogens in our environment the brain and sexual preference occurs at a different stage than genitalia formation. So it's very possible for a fetus to develop the brain pattern for a female, but the genitalia of a male. And then you have a young boy who's confused about his sexuality. So there's no doubt in my mind that the polluted environment is actually producing more of these types of children who are getting conflicting wiring in their brain and in their genitalia.
I actually have I call that de-evolution.
Yeah.
I mean, the way we're poisoning ourselves with all the synthetic stuff, everything, insecticides, pesticides, we're de-evolving. We're actually going backwards rather than going forwards as far as our evolutionary process. And I think that's very detrimental for us and for society in general. And I agree with you about the increase in the sort of ambiguous
sexuality.
No, no doubt with that. I agree totally.
So one last thing I want to mention. If you don't think phytoestrogens are important, because here's the problem with the whole discussion on soy. The Soy Commission comes out and says the estrogen in soy is meaningless, it doesn't affect you. But then soy manufacturers of products run commercials and tell women who are going through menopause that soy is good because it will help alleviate hot flashes. So you can't have it both ways. But here's where the acid test comes out. When you go to labs where they are doing experiments on rodents, and the experiments that they're doing, the research that they're doing, can be influenced by hormonal levels. So let's say they're doing some research on ovariectomized rats because they don't want any estrogen in the to change the results. They actually buy animal foods for these rats that have been tested to be devoid of both xeno and phytoestrogen. So if it's not important, why would these labs care?
Well, I think, you know, they're trying to, as I was saying before, research is very narrow vision as far as what they're trying to accomplish, and they may well be trying to rid all estrogen from the body and then finding out what the phytoestrogens themselves do. So by eliminating all the endogenous estrogens, you get an effect of what the exogenous estrogens, what their effects are. And you can follow that through from the fetal stage right through to the old age. And I think that you have to be very careful of these research results, because they're so specific and so narrow that it's not applied to our complex world. As I was saying, you know, we're each our own universe, and the complexity is unbelievable.
The website is MauroMD.com, M-A-U-R-O-M-D.com. There are books there. There's a newsletter that you could sign up for. And there are groundbreaking supplements that the supplement industry will be 10 years catching up to, because Dr. DePasquale is a thought leader, and his thoughts drive his supplement developments. So you need to go there to learn more, MauroMD.com, and we will do the next show. I've got an idea for the next show, talking about the HPT axis, anabolic steroid use, coming off, and some other things that we'll discuss, okay?
I think that'll be very interesting. I've been into that for 40 years.
There you go. Once again, the leader. All right, Mauro, talk to you soon, brother.
All right, thanks, Carl.
All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we've got some really interesting interviews that I think you'll get a kick out of. Stay tuned.
Outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-0514 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-0514 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-0514. That's 1-800-516-0514. Again, 1-800-516-0514.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote. Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-616-0820. That's 800-616-0820. 800-616-0820.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-291-5140. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-291-5140. That's 1-800-291-5140.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Shout out to my boy, Bobby Cooper. I don't think he's listening today at work. We'll see. I had a great time in Tampa. I'm so thankful for Quest bringing me there. Even though the live remote was a disaster, I was able to get some good interviews that you will hear now. If you can make the metabolic conference next year, you have to. It's amazing. It's Smart Camp. So many brilliant people that were attendees, not even the people doing the speaking. I got to meet so many people who listened to the show. Gaspar Grom from Slovenia and his wife and another young lady were there. Amy Berger was there. I got to meet her in person. I mean, Andrew Kutnick, who apparently has been listening to me since I used to do Off Topic on RX Muscle's website. It was just an intelligent love fest of people who appreciated each other. It's a wonderful thing. If you can make it next year, you have to go. Plus, you learn so much cool stuff that puts you out in front of everybody else. So, I got to meet Andrew Scarborough in person. First of all, he's a lot taller than I thought he was. Wow. I was shocked, really. You know, you don't know. When you look at pictures of people on Facebook, a lot of times you don't have a frame of reference for how tall they are. And I was not surprised, but at his delightfulness and his honesty and sincerity, and he's just a wonderful person. I'm going to play this interview, and it's a raw interview. I didn't edit it. It may not sound the best, but I think you'll get a lot out of it. So let's listen to this with Andrew Scarborough from the UK.
Hi, Andrew. How you doing?
Hi, Carl. Yeah, really good. Thanks. Enjoying the conference so far.
Have you been here to Florida before?
I haven't. I've never been out of Europe before, so this is really exciting for me.
So what have you seen here that seems to be most interesting to you? Because you're deep into keto now, and you're actually, and I should say this, you're actually a driving force now in the UK in the keto and cancer arena. And even we talked about this before, and we'll mention it again. But you're actually changing the way some of the physicians that you're working with think about it. But what's most exciting, what's most promising that you saw here?
Gosh, puts me under a lot of pressure. We've seen a lot of exciting speakers, really. What excites me is just generally people with different expertise in the area getting together and noticing that for even different neurological conditions, not just cancer, there's all these things that you can see are similar. So even with I went to a talk earlier on Angelman syndrome, and one of the problems there is status epilepticus, which I kind of had issues with that, if you like, if that's the right term, where I was having probable grand mal seizures after I was diagnosed with my brain tumor. And it was just interesting to see the emerging research into 1,3-butanediol. I don't know if you have gone over that at all.
I haven't looked at the research, but I've used it. It's like drinking gasoline. I have actually used it quite extensively when I was in California the last time. But it is very strong, a ketone contributor.
Yeah, and I was just interested to know more about that because it appears to have very potent effects, as you say, not only on how it affects you, but the benefits for cancer management as well as all these other conditions. So it appears to lower blood glucose quite significantly as well as elevate ketones to therapeutic levels for difficult to manage diseases and conditions. So that was, I think that was the most interesting thing I've seen so far, just because I'm kind of biased. I want to learn more about how to manage cancer better and have everyone else that I know have results that I've had or similar results.
So what's going on in the UK right now? Is it true that you can no longer buy ketone salt in the UK?
Yeah, I don't know why that's happened. We can still get caprylic acid and MCT oil, but there's some legislation that's been passed recently saying that we don't recognize what this is, so we're just not going to let people have it. It's the same kind of thing we have with melatonin. Well, you can't get melatonin in the UK.
I find that to be true of more countries that abide by Codex. If it's something we're unaware of, we're just going to ban it until we know more about it. Is it so? Is it your duty and other duty of people there in the UK to bring this forth and go, hey, look, this is all this is, guys. Don't be afraid of it, to push it through?
Yeah, at the moment it's frustrating because we're just a bunch of people just order it online or they go to the US and get it. But yeah, we're trying to put pressure on government to authorize these products because they're just naturally occurring in the liver. So it's just absolutely ridiculous how they think it could be dangerous, especially since people are actually using this for exercise physiology research. So even at my university, we use we're testing ketones, so it's not like it's this dangerous thing. It's the people in government who don't really understand it, who think we don't know what this is, so we'll stop using it.
There's a lot of things politicians don't know what they are, and if they started banning everything that politicians didn't know about, we wouldn't have anything. So what happens if someone is in the UK and unknowingly orders a product from the US that's a ketone salt product? Does it get shipped through, or are they intercepted? And if they are intercepted, what penalties does that carry?
Oh yeah, that's the funny thing, because you can possess it. It's not illegal.
You can
drink it, but you can buy it, but you just can't buy it in the UK. So it's even with melatonin, it's fine for me to buy it from the US and have it shipped over, and no one's going to stop me from taking it, even if they know I'm taking it. It's not like it's illegal, but you just can't buy it in the UK.
Okay, so you've said melatonin a few times now. Melatonin has been shown in plenty of research to have some profound effects on protecting the brain from... hold on a second.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Start over. You've said melatonin a few times now. Melatonin has been shown in many studies to protect the brain from a lot of nefarious problems, including we are starting to understand that 2 gigahertz and above RF may have some profound effects on the brain, that those effects are mitigated by melatonin. Is melatonin something, as a brain cancer survivor, you take as part of your therapy, or do you use it because it helps you sleep?
Yeah, I knew of its anti-cancer benefits, especially when I looked into studies of blind people and how their circadian rhythms are not affected by artificial light, and the rhythmicity of their circadian biology is more natural compared to other people, and they get much, much less rates of cancer incidence. So,
have you seen the blog I wrote about that? Non-24 is a BS disorder. So in the United States, they sell a synthetic melatonin by prescription for blind people to correct them for non-24. And I say, why not just take melatonin?
Yeah, that's confusing. I don't know why that is, but if you, melatonin is a very potent antioxidant endogenously. Your pineal gland will only produce naturally about 0.3 grams, but if you take over and above that amount, I cycle it because it's a hormone, and with any hormone therapy, you have to be careful because if you take too much too often, your brain will stop producing its own melatonin. So it's probably one of the most potent anti-cancer drugs, if you want to call it a drug, that we have, and it's natural. So,
when you are living in the UK, looking at the United States from the perspective of our pharmaceutical industry here and yours there, what's the general consensus of the people in the UK about the pharmaceutical industry inside the United States? Be honest.
It's just seen the same as it is in Europe, just lots of greed and conflicts of
So here in the United States, we look at the pharmaceutical industry as opportunistic, predatory, and quite frankly, they manipulate research in their favor, and a lot of their drugs are harmful. Is that the attitude there in the UK as well?
Yeah, it's not much different in the UK. And in fact, we have something called the Cancer Drugs Fund, where we're actually telling these, we've invested all of this money by government to say, we have these billions of pounds to spend on these drugs. And the pharmaceutical companies are saying, oh, really, you have all this money? So that means we can triple the price of these drugs. So one of the worst things that we've done is to have this Cancer Drugs Fund. People are celebrating it, saying it's this fantastic thing. We've set all this money aside to pay for these very expensive drugs. But then what the pharmaceutical companies have actually done as a response is to triple the price of those drugs. So other European countries actually pay about a third of the price for the same drugs that they're then charging the UK over and above those prices.
And that's going on here in the United States. It's interesting because the new administration coming in has been talking about renegotiating the way, so Medicare, Medicaid pays for drugs. They pay the highest price. They pay the equivalent of like the manufacturer suggested retail price. And they're the biggest buyer, so they should have negotiating power, but they don't. So that's happening in the United States. I find it interesting that that's what's happening in the UK as well.
Yeah, definitely. And often you can get these drugs paid from the NHS, which is our national health system. But I'm actually saving the NHS a lot of money from not having anti-epileptic drugs because they're extremely expensive too. But I'm just lambasted from the...
So when we first met the first day and I was talking to you and you were explaining to me that you are now going to school to be a doctor, and I said to you, erroneously, I said, you know, just go to school, follow the steps, then when you get out, you can then change things. And you said, no, I'm actually changing things now from within. So you talk about that. You have actually gotten doctors to think differently about cancer and the ketogenic diet, but also haven't you started a keto society there as well?
Yeah, I started a ketogenic diet society with a number of other students after they were hearing about my research and what I was doing and how I was challenging this system at the university. And I noticed that other students were listening to this and actually questioning and saying, well, hang on, we're learning stuff that's not just false, but it's dangerous to teach a new generation of students just false information.
So you're here through Sunday?
Yeah, and I'm speaking tomorrow about my story. So tomorrow afternoon, it's 3 till 4, and that will be filmed, so people can watch that afterwards. And I'll be trying to chronicle my four-year journey in 50 minutes, which will be a challenge.
So how long ago was it that you appeared on Superhuman Radio the first time? I'm trying to think. That's been a couple of years, right?
I think it was a couple of years ago, yeah. And it was really interesting, actually, because over the course of about 2 years, that's when my tumor showed no visible signs on scans of anything there. But what I didn't realize until I looked at the radiological report is that using what's called MR spectroscopy, where you look at the bioenergetics of the tumor, it was actually still showing detectable disease in that area. So there was no visible disease. And it's important to note that these MRI scans are very ambiguous for brain cancer because it infiltrates into healthy tissue, these malignant brain tumors. So even if you see no visible disease, you could still have detectable disease if you use this MR spectroscopy, which is a way of looking at the Warburg effect, just how it's lactating, what it's using for energy. And it shows a number of peaks and troughs, which would show you high signaling changes. And it was still showing that I had disease, even though it wasn't visible. But the interesting thing about that is when I eventually had hyperbaric oxygen therapy, that was when it was not only not visible, but the disease was not detectable. So potentially there's no disease there, but I still tried to manage it because I'm a pessimist.
So yeah, but this is a lifelong thing for you. You can't relax on your laurels and go, okay, I'm fine now, I can go back and doing what I did before that actually created this problem. Because so from that perspective, would this be hard to do? Is this going to be hard to do for the rest of your life, or is it one of those things that's like, yeah, if I'm going to stay alive, I can do this? Is what you do now sustainable long-term?
Well, it's become second nature to me now, so I don't really think about it much. But most of the time I fast, and I've become a bit addicted to fasting because of just the mental clarity it gives you and the energy. And I'm able to be very, very productive, and I even sleep better. Some people report poor sleep when they're starting to fast to get into it, but just I've been doing it for so long now that transitioning from my ketogenic diet, where I'm in that state where I'm mimicking a prolonged fast, when I then go into fasting for even a few days, I just feel really good doing that. And
I've been fasting for at least 20 hours every day that I've been here. Yesterday was my longest fast. It was actually 26 hours before I had another meal. That sounds bizarre, right? But I actually, even though I didn't sleep well last night because I ate so close to bed, I've had more energy. And as you point out, the mental clarity is almost euphoric. And you actually struggle with having to, like, I don't want to eat yet because I don't want this feeling to go away. I know once I eat, it's going to go away. Do you experience that same sensation?
Yeah, I don't want to eat at all, mostly because I don't have any. Sometimes I still get some tingling in my face, so very slight seizure activity. But if I'm fasted, even if it's for a long period of time, I don't get any of that seizure activity until I start to eat again. So I don't want to be metabolizing food. It's really funny. It's kind of a funny feeling. If I didn't have to eat ever, I probably wouldn't, but you kind of have to eat.
So of all the ketone supplements that you've seen here this week, anything really exciting to you that you really want to experiment with?
Well, I've experimented with just about all of them, but the best by far that I've had for seizure control is KetoForce from KetoSports. And that's just, it doesn't have any sweeteners in it because I don't tend to react well to sweetness. And also, you have to remember that we don't know enough about stevia, which is the one that everyone's excited about and are using for everything. So we don't know enough about it. It could be affecting the gut microbiota negatively, Also, we know that with brain cancer patients, the actual chemistry of the brain is altered, which is why antidepressants are actually really effective for targeting the defective mitochondria in these cells, just by changing the brain chemistry and increasing levels of serotonin in the brain. So a brain cancer patient, even especially if they have very malignant disease, they're actually, their brain chemistry is like someone with chronic depression. And if you alter that back into a normal, as with a normal healthy brain, you can, it's very potent, it has very potent anti-cancer benefits, especially along with the ketogenic diet.
Did you see the lecture about Gleevec and deuterium, but not so much deuterium, but Gleevec as a drug acts like metformin and like Lipitor all in one because it's a prodrug. It actually converts to these things. Was that exciting to you? Had you known about Gleevec before this lecture yesterday?
I hadn't, but it is very exciting. And also, any time you have a prodrug, I think it has more benefits than if you isolate the active ingredient. I think pharmaceutical companies will never tell you that, but I definitely think it's a very promising thing that I need to look into a bit more.
I want to thank you for making time to do this interview. Do you like listening to Superhuman Radio?
I love listening to Superhuman Radio. I can't really say no, can I? But I do genuinely love listening to it. It's always not just entertaining, but the guests are such high quality and people I really admire. So I always learn something new when I listen to it. Sometimes I think I know everything, and then I'll hear from some of these true experts in their fields, and I'll just feel really stupid, like I know nothing.
Well, thank Elisa Profumo, because she books all the guests.
Yeah, Elisa's great. She makes you look good, because she does all the hard work, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm the beast, and she's the beauty. But she's actually the brains, too. Thanks a lot, Andrew.
That was fun. He's really a great guy. We have two more interviews. So we have one by Jimmy Moore, who's never been on my show, but when I interviewed him, he thought I was on my show. He was on my show before. And one by Jacob Wilson. We're going to do the Jacob Wilson one when we come back from this break, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee Eye Drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee Eye Drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com. And click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. So more than a few times now over the past 11 years, I've had guests on the show where I have forgotten that they had been on the show before. Maybe it's a combination of me getting older and my brain not functioning well, or maybe it's a combination of the fact that over 11 years I've interviewed a lot of people and I just can't remember everybody. So I see Jacob Wilson. He's all the rage right now on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. He has a facility. They do a lot of research out of in Florida. He's known as the Muscle PhD. Many of you may know him that way. Just a delightful guy. So I go to him, I said, Jacob, when are you going to come on my show? He goes, Carl, I've actually been on your show twice. And there it goes again, right? Like, oh, man, okay, I'm stupid, I'm sorry. Anyway, so I grabbed a hold of him because he's on the cutting edge of this whole keto movement as well. He's doing a lot of interesting research and has some really good opinions. So I thought, well, let me track him down, let me sit him down. Let me ask him some questions. So this is my interview with Jacob Wilson, the Muscle PhD. Check it out.
Dr. Jacob Wilson.
Otherwise known as
the Muscle PhD.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
So what are you up to? What's exciting? What are you most passionate about right now?
Right now, the impact of ketogenic dieting and how muscles respond. Like, can you gain muscle, you know, doing a ketogenic diet? And we're finding out you can.
So I interviewed Tony Friedman about 4 months ago, and Tony is exclusively ketogenic now. And obviously the guy's got a huge amount of muscle mass. So, and we all know that in bodybuilding there are other...
Dr. Jacob Wilson.
Otherwise known as...
Sorry about
the
that.
The Muscle
My
PhD.
Fault.
There you
go.
Yeah.
What are you up to? What's exciting? What are you most passionate about right now?
Right now, the impact of ketogenic dieting and how muscles...
It's what happens when your fingers are not busy.
...diet and we're finding out you can.
So I interviewed Tony Freeman about 4 months ago, and Tony is exclusively ketogenic now. And obviously the guy's got a huge amount of muscle mass. So, and we all know that in bodybuilding there are other super supplements being used. But what do you think? Can you actually build muscle without carbohydrates in the diet?
So we did a study, actually. We teamed up with Dr. Dominique DiAgostino, Volek, and we did a study where we took a bodybuilder. So we had them resistance train with a ketogenic diet and without. The guys in the ketogenic diet gained just as much muscle and just as much strength as the ones on carbohydrates. We followed that up with a study that's published in Journal of Applied Physiology where we looked at protein synthesis and muscle, just as much skeletal muscle protein synthesis in the muscle. So, yeah, you absolutely can gain just as much.
Okay, so Dr. Mauro Di Pasquale, who really was one of the first people to talk about the ketogenic diet 35 years ago, has said on my show numerous times that glycogen replenishment will occur over 24 hours regardless of whether you eat carbohydrates or not. Would you agree with that statement?
I would definitely agree with that statement. In fact, Dr. Jeff Bolick showed that when you took elite endurance athletes who've been keto-adapted for 15 months, that if you give them a high-fat shake, they replenish glycogen stores as fast as you give them a high-carb shake. In our lab, we actually did a study with resistance training, and we found that they were able to replenish glycogen just as fast as being on a high-carbohydrate diet. So now we're seeing that. People always ask me, they go, well, don't you need carbs for resistance training or high-intensity activities? I go, yeah, you just don't need them in your diet to a high level because your body can make them.
So, okay, so right now one of the vocal, I wouldn't say opponents, but dissidents about the whole low-carb, no-carb, high-fat movement, specifically in performance, is Dr. Brad Schoenfeld. It's not that he's opposed to it, but he thinks that from some of the things that I've read, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, and he's a great guy. He's been on my show numerous times. He's kind of like this whole keto thing is really not necessary. So let's assume that it's not necessary, right? If an athlete is looking at fueling workouts with carbs and building muscle or not with carbs and still building muscle, what would your argument be for one or the other?
You know, I'll tell you what. My thing is this. It's not necessary. When we say it's not necessary, say we assume that was the case, I would say it's not necessary for the average. But when you look at any study, there's a spread, meaning that some people don't respond to certain diets while others do. And that means that there's individuals in studies, for example, say the argument's low fat's just as good as high fat. Well, there's studies where if you look at the spread and the standard deviation, a lot of people on the low fat are gaining fat. What about those people? For them, it may be necessary to make that metabolic switch. So that'd be one thing I say is every individual is different. The average simply guides us. And then secondly, I would say is for some athletes, I do think it's necessary. Those athletes who are involved in where you got a traumatic brain injury, football, NHL, boxing, even soccer, the brain goes through an energy crisis where it cannot use glucose as well. And in those situations, I think it is absolutely necessary to have ketones around so that they don't have permanent damage.
Okay, so over the years, I've had guests on the show that I have deciphered from their messages that everything we eat has a toxic impact on our body, but carbohydrates tend to be more toxic to us than fats and proteins because carbohydrates tend to elicit a pro-inflammatory response. Would that be another argument for people who are in high-impact sports like MMA and boxing and such?
Well, I will say this. Yeah, they do tend to lead to a pro-inflammatory response. We know that ketones have an anti-inflammatory response. And basically, athletes, after MMA, football, they can barely sit down sometimes. And so if ketogenic dieting, again, this is I'm talking theoretical with athletics because we really need to look more at studies where you're improving an inflammation with athletes. But I would hypothesize that they will see a large benefit as far as that anti-inflammatory effect.
Where do you stand on keto supplements? So they're all the craze right now, and I actually have some issues with them, right? So a lot of these keto supplements that say get into ketosis in 30 minutes, that's really not accurate because ketosis is the process of the body making its own ketones. Ketolysis is the body using ketones for fuel. So I kind of want to differentiate when I talk on my show what these supplements are really doing. But from the standpoint of performance, do you think that just dumping a bunch of ketones into the bloodstream and making them available to muscle is going to yield a performance benefit, or do the muscles have to be ready? Like the whole process of getting into ketosis not only gets your body to start producing ketones, but your body starts to prefer ketones as energy. Do you think that's missing if you just dump a bunch of ketones in your bloodstream and say, oh, now go out and work out?
That's a really great question, Carl. Basically, the first person to really answer that question was in a non-athletic model, and that was Dominique D'Agostino. And basically, he was finding that like ketones could prevent seizures when you do simulated deep-sea diving. Now, he took animals who weren't keto-adapted, and they were able to actually still prevent the seizures. Now, yes, over time, we're able to use them better. Now, Dr. Veach's lab recently took cyclists, elite cyclists, and had them cycle and gave them ketones. They were not keto-adapted, even ketones and carbs at the same time. Turns out the preferred fuel they use were ketones, which is interesting. You know, so at least, again, that's one study, and certainly we need a lot more studies, but it is indicating that they may have some therapeutic potential.
So I have made some assumptions that the majority of benefits from ketone supplements, they invoke their abilities on the brain. We know that. And I'm also of the mindset that fatigue begins in the brain, not in the peripheral muscle. So in theory, ketone supplements should improve time to fatigue simply because the brain thinks that it's got a lot of energy and it can keep on going. Is that a fair assumption?
So we actually just did a study in our lab. I agree. I think that I would hypothesize that. We looked at perceived exertion, which is really kind of like telling you that central component. And we did a four-stage exercise model with four being very heavy endurance exercise and five being like extreme. And recently we found that with ketones, their perceived exertion had not yet hit maximal on stage three of four, whereas people who weren't had hit maximal at stage three. So perceptually speaking, yes, they're not thinking like I'm at maximal. Now, that theoretically, with all the research I've seen, should lead a greater time to exhaustions or time to fatigues like your suggestion. So I think it's a great hypothesis.
One of the things that I hear from people, and I'm experiencing it myself, is the threshold for caffeine before you start getting the jitters seems to go up when you are in ketosis. So I have a theory, and I want to ask you. My theory is that caffeine elicits both a glycogen response from the liver and a cortisol response that causes a tug of war on blood sugar. And this is where the jitters come from, the bouncing of hyper to hypoglycemia. And when you are in ketosis, that's removed completely. And if anything, the caffeine elicits a higher ketone. So could this be the reason why people say, oh, when I'm in ketosis, I can drink as much caffeine and go to sleep later? It doesn't affect me the same way?
Yeah, Carl, I think that's a brilliant observation. I think definitely that is definitely a great hypothesis. In fact, there was a study done a couple decades ago where basically they took people and put them in starvation ketosis. And they'll never be able to do these studies again. But they actually administered insulin to them where they dropped their blood glucose to like 30s and 20s where you'd normally be in a coma. They were fine because their ketones were elevated. Similarly, like you said, with these up and downs with caffeine, maybe you can counter that because you can maintain and sustain levels of blood glucose that are normal. But finally, as you said, I just had lunch with Dr. Steve Kunane, one of the world's leading scientists in cognition, and he actually pointed out that exactly what you said, that caffeine is actually ketogenic. Potentially, that's why caffeine may have its long-term benefits on preventing or helping to lower the risk factor of, like, Alzheimer's.
Many years ago, I had Stu Phillips on the show from McMaster, and he had done some really well-done studies on training while fasted. And his observation was that it wasn't catabolic and that, in fact, amino acid pool recycling became more efficient in the absence of food intake in an athlete that was training. A lot of people out there are afraid to do keto or keto. I'm from Brooklyn. So because they're like, oh, but I'm going to start losing muscle. Now, obviously, glycogen depletion does make muscles look flatter, but that changes from day to day. But what would you say to those people out there who are saying, look, you know, I want to maximize muscle. I don't want to lose any muscle, and I'm going to just have to keep eating six meals a day, carbs, protein, and fat. who just don't want to jump on the keto bandwagon.
Well, I'll tell you what, Carl. One thing that we're seeing is I think that you adapt to anything. So I actually think if you're at two meals a day and you move to six, that can initially be anabolic. But eventually it will stop. See, basically, what happens is that when you're eating all the time, your cell doesn't have a chance to really recycle certain components and make them better and stronger. So when you do go through periods of fasting, it has a chance to regenerate. So I actually think even people who think that eating high meal frequency is good, even they should back off and go low meal frequency so their cell has a chance to go through cellular processes to clean itself out and then be more sensitive to when they go back to high meal frequency. So maybe for maximizing muscle gain, maybe it's a periodization type of approach. Sometimes you do go through periods of high meal frequency, but for health and longevity benefits and even being able to respond to that, you cycle to lower meal frequency.
In fact, the Bulgarians introduced that back in the 70s, where they would actually have their athletes fast from protein intake for 2 days and then reintroduce protein. And what they found out was that period of fasting stimulated protein synthetic response for the same meals to a greater degree. So based on that, with a therapeutic ketogenic diet where you're really starting to get into that 3-to-1 zone.
I don't know why, but it just ended right there. There was some more to the interview. I don't know when I had to edit these details off the front and the back, and I must have edited a little bit of a discussion, but there was just maybe another minute to the interview. That was Jacob Wilson. It was a great discussion. He's really a really sharp guy, and he's doing some amazing things at his facility in Florida. And I'm sure a lot of you know who he is. You follow him. He's all over Facebook and Instagram, The Muscle PhD. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we've got one last interview with the famous Living La Vida Low Carb, Jimmy Moore. And I asked him some questions about weightlifting. You'll be interested to hear what he says. Stay tuned.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Few products can boast being considered the food of the gods by the Aztecs, but the ingredients in Bio Superfood have been. Some algae are the most efficient forms of nutrients, proteins, minerals, enzymes, fatty acids, antioxidants, and much more. Bio Superfood is something you have to experience for yourself. That's why, for a limited time, buy any Bio Superfood products and save 15% off your first order. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad to read the research and learn why Bio Superfood is the best supplement in the world you're not already taking.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Individuals and businesses
those with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-616-0820. That's 800-616-0820. 800-616-0820.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The Triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the Triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of Triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-0514 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-0514 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-0514. That's 1-800-516-0514. Again, 1-800-516-0514.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Four, three, two, uno.
So this last interview is with Jimmy Moore. It's a little long. The show is actually going to go long today. But it's really cool. He's really a wonderful guy. He's a sweet guy. He doesn't have a harsh word to say about anybody. A lot of people pick on him for different reasons, but I like him. I like Jimmy a lot. And so I hit him with some good questions, I think. See if you think so as well.
Hey, man, what's up?
So, actually, you and I...
Oh, man. I should not be doing production at all. Yeah, hold on.
Jimmy, how you doing? Hey, man, what's up?
So, actually, you and I were just talking offline. I asked you, what are you working on right now? You said you're working on three books right now.
And that's the least of which that I'm working on. I have so many things in the fire, Carl. I mean, you just constantly are trying to spread the message. So I'm working on a book with Dr. Adam Nally. He's my Keto Talk podcast co-host. And we're going to talk about ketosis. It's kind of an advanced level of my Keto Clarity book from a few years back. But people want more. So we're going to give them more. We're going to show them the metabolic pathway of pretty much every chronic disease and show them how ketogenic helps with that, give them help if that even isn't working, maybe some supplements that could help. And at the very last resort, any medications that might help with that. But I have so many things in the works. We have a ketogenic conference we're doing in September called KetoCon. And so that's coming in Austin, Texas in September 1st through the 4th. Of course, I've been doing a low-carb cruise for a decade, so we're doing that again. We're celebrating our 10th year of doing these this year. So that's leaving out of Canada or Seattle, Washington, going up to Alaska. And then just, yeah, always thinking of book ideas. I try to stay on the cutting edge. I was like one of the first ones to talk about ketosis. With Keto Clarity, I was the first one to really kind of talk about fasting in a big way with A Complete Guide to Fasting. So it's never a dull moment.
Okay, so I got to ask you about the cruises because I've always wondered about this. I've been on one cruise in my life, and it's anything but carb, low carb, most cruises. How do you get them to accommodate, or do your people just selectively avoid certain foods?
Yeah, so it's still just a cruise. It's still a cruise that's normal that you would normally see that has all the crappy garbage, as I call it. And so, yeah, our people know what to choose. I mean, the good thing about a cruise is you have availability of all this stuff. And once you're savvy about this, you choose the meats, you choose the vegetables, you choose butter, cook your eggs in butter. When our group's on the ship, we go to the omelet station, and they're literally bringing packets of butter to the guy instead of spraying that crap in the pan. I'm like, stop spraying that. That's going to give me cancer. I want butter. And so cook it in butter, and that's the way they do it.
So it's really more of an opportunity for like-minded people to get together and enjoy a cruise, and the cruise ship itself doesn't really have to accommodate. They have everything available. You select.
You know what they do, though? They actually do help us out, knowing, and this year we're going to have 400 people a part of this. It's the most we've ever had. We usually average a couple hundred, but we'll have double that this year, which is kind of freaking me out because I'm the MC of the whole thing. So I'm like, okay, hi. So, you know, they do their best to accommodate us. They know after the first night, don't bring the bread, but bring the butter. You know, and sometimes the chef will even whip up some kind of a low-carb dessert, maybe like a cheesecake or something for us, just to kind of pay homage that we are there. And so it's a really good time. We do conferences during the days at sea. We're in port. We have fun. So it's just a great thing to hang out with all these, like, world-renowned researchers and doctors in the keto world. They're real people, you know.
In an intimate setting. I'm watching you at this show. You are one of the kindest, gentlest, most generous people with your time. I see people coming up to you. They want to take pictures with you. They all want to hug you. What happens on the days where you just don't have it?
I fake it till I make it. I mean, that's what you do when you're in the public eye, and you know this as well as anyone. But you know what? I live every day thinking I'm living on borrowed time anyway. Because quite frankly, Carl, I should be dead. I mean, my brother Kevin died at the age of 41. Of heart disease, morbid obesity, and diabetes, I should be in the grave with him. And I'm not. I'm here thriving. And so that's what motivates me day by day by day, is saving all those Kevins out there. I think when I was on your show before, I even talked about, you know, that's what motivates me and what drives me. And life's too short to not show love and kindness to everybody, because the least you can do for these people that buy your books, listen to your podcast, listen to your radio show, they want to feel like they know you. And what's interesting is the people I've never met before, that's the first thing they say is, I feel like I know you. I'm like, well, you kind of do, because I'm like no holds barred in the way I do my podcast. And I'm very real by design. I'm not trying to be an MD, PhD, RD, or any D after my name. I'm just a patient that got empowered and is trying to empower other patients now.
So is the answer to everything really keto?
No. I think the answer to everything is get rid of the crap. If you stop eating crap and just eat real food and live your life, you know, get proper sleep, you know, have someone that to love in your life, all of the little things that we don't think about in terms of health, all of them matter. But no, I don't think you have to be ketogenic. Although I think in today's society, there's enough people that have damaged themselves to the point that keto could help. And so the good thing about ketogenic is it's just real food. We're not talking about, like, extremes of any kind. It's actually just real food. And so if you're eating meat and vegetables and butter and, you know, you're eating well and maybe a low-carb cheesecake every once in a while, I don't see what's wrong with that. And that's not going to harm anybody. At the end of the day, we want to get people off of the junk and get them on the real food. That's the bottom line for me. If it's a vegan diet and it makes you happy and healthy, I'm all for you doing that. If it's just a low-carb diet and not ketogenic, that probably helps a lot of people. But if you have metabolic damage like Jimmy Moore, you might have to do a little bit more. So I do both ketogenic and some periods of fasting to try to help with that. And it helps me, and I'm trying to live as long as I can.
So there are lots of emerging things that you and I get bombarded with. People send us stuff because they want to get on the show and they want to talk about it. So I'm going to throw a couple things at you, and I want you to tell me if you really buy into it, okay, or you're skeptical, or you want more research, or absolutely it's BS. No. Structured water.
I've never heard of it, so I have no idea.
Fair enough. Grounding.
I've interviewed the guy that came up with grounding. From a psychological standpoint, I think it could give people the illusion that they're getting better and healthier by touching their feet to the grass and doing that. But for me personally, it's not as important. It's way down the list of important things.
Exposure to sunlight.
Absolutely. That's the one that if more people got out in the sun, we wouldn't have mood issues. We wouldn't have people taking these antipsychotics. My wife, Christine, she had a vitamin D level of 9, which is obscenely low. It should be about 40 to 60. 9. She was on Paxil, and they kept wanting to up her dose and up her dose and up her dose. And finally, we got her vitamin D checked. 9. I put her on 10,000 IU of vitamin D3 supplements, and we went out in the yard and soaked in sun daily. And she got it up within 6 months to 60, and she came off the Paxil, and she's never gone back on it again. That's been 10 years ago. But that's the power of the sun. So I'm a big believer. In fact, we're in this artificial light where we are now. I've had to go outside just to get sun on me, and it revives you, and there's a reason it does. So absolutely, I'm a big believer in that.
Okay. Microbiome, is it an artifact of an unhealthy lifestyle, or is it the cause of the bad health?
Yes. I think it's both. And I think one feeds into the other. So the microbiome, people aren't really, you know, wary of it they're wary of it because they don't know anything about it. And so the average consumer doesn't really know what they're supposed to do, and they're taking these antibiotics for every little sniffle, and they don't realize the damage that they're doing. It is pretty critical to your health. I still think your diet matters, and even within the context of what I do, a ketogenic diet, the microbiome actually gets improved by eating lots of green leafy vegetables. You can feed that good bacteria. And periods of fasting will actually cause an autophagic response. You clean out a lot of that bad stuff. So I think it fits perfectly within the template of what we're talking about.
This is probably a two-part question. So activity overall, important, not important?
Depends on what your goal is. If your goal is weight loss, it's not important. If your goal is I want to feel good and de-stress and get all those like other benefits that come from exercise, absolutely, it's a great thing. But people exercise thinking, I have to create this calorie deficit, and it just doesn't exist. I think if you're doing it to control hormones, to control stress, to maybe help you sleep better at night, just to make you feel better in general, absolutely a big fan of that.
What about muscle, the importance of muscle as a contributor to or impacting health?
Muscle gain is the goal. I'm tired of going to these gyms and seeing these people walk 2 miles an hour on a treadmill thinking they're doing something. Okay, maybe on a very low level you're doing something, but unless you're building muscle, you're not burning fat as efficiently. So you have to build muscle. That doesn't mean you have to lift, you know, and bench press 5,000 pounds. I've got a tire in my backyard, like a big tractor tire. I flip that bad boy about 10 times and I'm out of breath, but I'm burning all over from legs, from basically the head to toe. So I'm a big fan of building muscle. And when you build muscle, it actually makes the fat burning and the ketone production that much better.
So I think everyone agrees about the importance of sleep.
Yep.
What's your top three things that have either impacted your sleep positively or you recommend to people who say, you know, Jimmy, I just don't sleep well?
Welcome to the club. A lot of people don't sleep really well. So one thing that I found really helps is early in the day, make sure you get bright light in your eye because you want to turn on that circadian rhythm. I don't know about you, Carl, but when I wake up in the morning, I actually wake up before the sun comes up. But then by the time it's 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon when the sun goes down, I'm getting sleepy. And so it kicks in really hard. And the reason is early in the day, I go outside as that sun's coming up, I let it get right into my eyeball. And so if you let that happen, you will sleep really, really well, at least on a schedule. I generally go to bed at 10, I'm up at 6, almost invariably. Now I'm traveling right now, so it's a little bit off when you travel, or if you change time zones, that can happen. So that's one thing. Make sure you get plenty of light during the day. One thing that people devalue is magnesium. So you can take magnesium 1 hour before bed. And don't take too much or you'll have the craps all night. Don't do that. But if you take an appropriate amount of magnesium as a supplement, you will sleep really well as well. It's a natural sleep aid. And then the obvious things is make sure your environment, you know, your bed is nice and comfortable. You got blackout curtains. You got maybe a fan going on, which has a little bit of ambient noise along with the cooling. And that you're about 2 or 3 degrees cooler than you would typically have it. So you want a cool environment, dark. All of those things matter, and you'll sleep like a baby.
How important is it to the successful journey to health that your significant other or partner join you in the journey as opposed to you going on your own?
So I was very fortunate because my wife, Christine, has been nothing but a huge supporter. Now, she didn't eat keto when I first started. She was still eating Skittles and M&Ms and all this stuff. And it wasn't until she saw her triglycerides around 300 that she's like, oh, you know, and she's skinny and never has been fat, but she had this triglyceride issue. So we cut her carbs, and in 6 weeks, Carl, dropped them from 300 to 130. And now she has lower triglycerides than I do. She's all in keto now. But it took that. She didn't have a weight problem, but she had a metabolic problem. And so, yeah, it's absolutely critical. My mom right now just started keto January 2nd. She's known what I've done forever, but she's just ready for it. And she's bad enough in health that she's like, I'm desperate. So she's doing keto. She's lost 35 pounds in 1 month. But more importantly, she has myasthenia gravis, which came out of meningitis. And, I mean, she had mental issues. I would talk to my mom on the phone and go, yeah, I don't recognize you at all. And so she's gone keto. All of her brain is crystal clear now. She's back to mom again. And that I can't pay enough money in the world for that. And my own sister, the same thing. She's lost 20 pounds since January 2nd. And she's a public school teacher and teaches science. She says her interaction and engagement with her kids has never been like this in the whole, she's been teaching for 25 years.
So when people come to you and talk about their cholesterol,
yep,
and you start talking about carbohydrate consumption instead of fat,
right,
and they get that glazed look because this is not what their doctor has been telling them, what do you say to them to get them to understand the relationship between glucose and triglycerides?
Yeah, that is the biggie, to get them to even know what a triglyceride is, because unfortunately most doctors are uberly obsessed about LDL-C and total cholesterol, which you and I both know are bullcrap. It doesn't matter. But triglycerides and the HDL do matter. And so what you tell people is you want to lower the blood fat. And the key blood fat is the triglyceride, which, oh, yeah, by the way, shows up in your VLDL. So if you take your triglyceride and divide by 5, that's your VLDL. And so you want to make sure that bad fat, and that truly is the baddest of the bad fat, is as low as it can be. And so I say carbs are the driver. So carbs drive that triglyceride. You want to have the triglycerides under 100, ideally under 70. But if it's under 100, you're rocking and rolling. And usually when your triglycerides are that low, your HDL tends to be pretty good as well. Over 50 is what you're looking for, ideally over 70. And so that 1-to-1 ratio or less between triglyceride and HDL, that's what you're looking for. And if you've got that, you have nothing to worry about, even if you have 350 total cholesterol.
But their doctor's telling them to cut out the cheese, cut out the fat, and the doctor's not even telling them that carbs are influencing it. When you start telling someone you've got to cut your carbs to correct your dyslipidemia, and they're going, but my doctor's telling me I got to stop eating fat, what do you say to them?
I say doctors aren't qualified to give that advice. You're lucky if most medical doctors have had 2 weeks of nutrition. If they're lucky. I just talked to a Duke University medical school student. He had exactly 4 hours in his whole medical student career. 4 hours. They didn't talk about carbs. They didn't talk about insulin. They didn't talk about any of the hormones that are related to nutrition at all. And so that's a big problem. So it'd be like hiring your plumber to fix your lawnmower. Now, he may know how to do it, but he's not been trained in how to do it. So I love doctors. If I break my arm, I want them to put my arm back together again. But when it comes to nutrition, they are absolutely clueless.
Very exciting. What is the most exciting thing you've seen at this show? By the way, you've got a nice array of products and books at your booth.
Thank you.
But what have you seen here that's kind of excited you this year?
Well, the good thing is I know most of these things. So I've been excited about them for a little while. There's a nut here that maybe people haven't heard about called peely nuts. And so the peely nuts are higher in fat than even a macadamia, which everybody like glorifies as, oh, it's the grand high-fat nut. It is now the second highest fat nut. I think that's like 19 grams for a macadamia nut. This one has 22, and it's got 4 grams of protein and 1 gram of carbohydrate, which is actually much less than one, but it's a keto nut. So if you're doing a ketogenic diet and it tastes like freeze-dried butter, I know you've tried them, Carl. They're amazing, and so I think that's an exciting development. The ways to test for ketones, so the ketonics people are here. It's the only way to test for breath ketones, which that ketone is called acetone. that's the only way to test for it, and they've gotten so sophisticated. I helped them when they were beta testing, and it just kind of changed colors, you know, randomly. Now they got, like, different blinks. They got graphs on your computer. We've really gotten sophisticated with the ketogenic diet. For people that want to track and people that like to track, hello, that's Jimmy Moore. It's a great tool. And so I think the more tools you have, the better, and we're going to see a lot more innovation in the years to come.
Thanks a lot for joining me, Jimmy. This has been great.
Thank you very much.
Whoa. I want to say goodbye. Don't just end the show without me saying goodbye. Well, that's it. That was Jimmy Moore's interview. I thought it was interesting. Two things were really interesting to me. His belief in weightlifting. I don't know if he really does any weightlifting, but obviously this audience does. And I think that his assertion that he was the first person to talk about fasting and the ketogenic diet. Mauro Di Pasquale was the first person to talk about the ketogenic diet 35 years ago. And there has been lots of discussion and research on fasting. Some of it Dr. Mark McCarty published. I had him on the show back in 2006, the first time, that led to every other day diets experimented in rodents, which led to the research that Stu Phillips did up in McMaster's, where they did fasted training. I mean, you know, so I get it. Maybe he was one of the first podcasts to popularize it. I don't think so, because I was doing it too. But the assertion that he's the first person to be talking about it is, I don't know. You know, I think that there's a group of us that were all talking about it around the same time. But anyway, he's a great guy, really, really great guy. And I know he has lots of fans that love him. And I can see why. He's a sweet man. Anyway, that's it. We went a little long today. Thank you for staying with us, the live audience. I see you. And tomorrow's Friday, which means I'll be in the studio with the lovely and talented Elisa Profumo. And we have lots of great stories to talk about. So we'll see you then. And thank you so much for listening today.